Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ryan Dorfman, your host of USC versus Fantasy Sports on this Monday afternoon. Guys, we are at the 5-day mark for USC 211. Really excited about this. Have been for a while. Obviously, this is going to be one stacked card. I'm going to keep talking about it. And by the time next week, you won't have to hear me talk about it again because it's going to be over. But guys, Eddie Alvarez, Sempoye, Henry Cejudo, Sergio Pérez, Frankie Edgar, Yair Pantera Rodriguez, Demian Maia versus Jorge Masvidal, Joanna Giojicic versus Jessica Andrade for the Women's Strawweight Championship, and Stipe Miocic versus Junior Dos Santos, two for the Heavyweight Championship. Dos Santos won the first fight. This is a revenge fight for the champion, Stipe Miocic. Wow, what a card this is going to be. Obviously, the prelims are going to be on Fox Sports. And the main card will be a pay-per-view. Obviously, there are ways you can stream the fights without having to pay. And there's, you know, Periscope and everything like that. And which is kind of what I use because I'm a broke college student. So sometimes if I can't really pay for this kind of stuff, I mean, I got to have to do what I got to do sometimes, you know? Unless it's Conor McGregor. If it's Conor McGregor, I'll pay the money. I'll pay to see Conor fight. Other than that, I mean, even for a card like this, it was just, you need that kind of guy like Conor to pull someone like me in who doesn't really have that much money. If I did have the money, I would watch every UFC event, you know, every weekend. And there's more than you think. I think there's like one every week, to be completely honest with you. But the big ones, you know, are few and far between. So anyway, 5 days away from UFC 211. It's going to be a terrific, terrific card. So please go ahead, tune in. If you don't like UFC, I would still watch. You know, maybe it'll change your mind. You know, there's going to be some great fights, especially even the prelim card. Eddie Alvarez is going to whoop Poirier. So that should be fun, very, very fun. So like I said, yeah, it's 5 days away. Tune in. American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. If you live in Houston, if you live in Dallas, if you live in San Antonio, you know, obviously, try to make your way to this fight. Get some tickets. I mean, it's going to be a great card. Going to be some great fights. Anyway, let's move on and talk baseball. Let's do some MLB. Just do a quick roundup of what's going on. A lot, you know, obviously Mike Trout's hurt right now, but he'll be back by Tuesday. Harper's returning to the lineup. Matt Harvey was suspended. But, you know, for a team like the Angels not to have Mike Trout really hurts them. They don't really have anyone else besides an aging Albert Pujols and an above average Cole Calhoun. But obviously, losing the best player in baseball spells doom for a team that doesn't really have much pitching either. Very interesting to see Mike Trout. If you just take a look at Mike Trout's contract. Let's take a look at Mike Trout's contract right now. I mean, it almost makes me cry to know that he's not gonna leave the Angels because he's too good, you know, and it sucks to see a guy like Mike not win. He's 25 years old. 5 years old. Let's see. Contract extension, yada yada yada. In 2014, so 3 years ago. They signed Trout to a six year, $144.5 million extension. So basically he's due to play through 2020. So he'll be, you know, I mean, 29 years old. Once this contract this contract is finished. So he'll be, you know, hovering around his prime by that time. And, it's going to be interesting to see because if you're a team and it's Mike Trout, I mean, who knows how long this guy can play at this level for? You know, Albert Pujols, if you just look at his contract and his stats that he got, I mean, look at this. So Pujols, sorry, there's this note right here. He was signed to a $240 million contract, and that was in 2011. And by that, he was already 31 years old, and they signed him to a 10-year contract. That was probably the dumbest thing the Angels could have done. I think that was very, very, very stupid. Because if you look, you know, obviously he really dropped off. His last year in St. Louis, he was hitting. Look at this. He started declining. I mean, obviously in 2009, you know, his batting average dropped 30 points from 357 to 327, which is still very, very good. 327 is a great, great batting average. But and then it dropped from 327 to 312, and then it dropped from 312 to 299, and that was his last year in St. Louis when he hit 299. Then it dropped from 299 to 285 from 2011 to 2012. And his first year with the Angels, it had dropped 14 points. Then it dropped again from 285 to 258 from 2012 to 2013. So a total from 2008 from 08 to 2013, his batting average has dropped by over 100 points, and that just spells doom. I would have seen this as, hey, look, guys, he's been declining for the past 3 years. We shouldn't be offering this guy a 10-year deal. There's no way that we should be offering this guy a 10-year deal at 31 years old for $240 million. And I think that that's really what's plagued the Angels, and the reason the Angels aren't able to really put a great team around Mike Trout is because they still owe so much money to Albert Pujols. And I'm trying to figure out this guy's his salary, but like year by year, just to kind of figure it out what it is. Yeah, okay, so... Right. Okay. So they're gonna owe him. This year they're gonna owe him $26 million. Next year they'll owe him $27 million. I mean, they're gonna be paying this guy $30 million when he's 41 years old. I mean, he and look at his stats now. Okay, look what Albert Pujols is doing now. This year, I know it's early. It's very early into the season, but you know, I mean, right now. I got to scroll back up here. Okay, here we go. All right, so right now he is – oh, God. A lot worse than I thought. Okay, he's hitting 240. This is his worst year in the majors so far. He's 37 years old. It baffled me that the Angels paid him all that money. I'm sorry. I really did. It has screwed them royally. It has screwed them royally, and I feel horrible for Mike Trout. That's where this all started. This all started with the fact that Mike Trout, you know, is coming back on Tuesday. But I had to just go off on a tangent because I'm sorry, but the Los Angeles Angels have screwed Mike Trout so badly. So now Mike Trout's going to be 28, 29 years old when he gets eligible for a new contract. Or a free agency, whatever it is. At that point, I mean, to be completely honest with you, I'd probably sign him to a five or six year deal. You know, I mean. To be completely honest with you, if it were really up to me, I'd sign him for maybe like a 3 or 4 year deal, probably four. I'd probably sign him to like a 4 year deal. It's different for everybody. You know, LeBron James is 32 years old, and he's playing better than he ever has. you know. But you know, this is a different sport, a different game. Mike Trout, obviously, like I said, I'm sorry. I feel horrible for the guy, and I really don't know what he was thinking re-extending that contract. I mean, he had to have known that the Pujols contract was just plaguing this team, and they weren't going to be able to build around him. But I guess he's loyal that way, and he wants to stick with the Angels. All the respect to him for doing that. Speaking of which, but also Bryce Harper comes back into the lineup tonight. Now, Bryce Harper is there's been a lot of rumors linking him to the Yankees because of how much money that they can offer him. But obviously, you know, the Nationals look really good right now. If they win the pennant, he could definitely, you know, stay on with the Nationals and continue to be the face of DC. Obviously, this is a guy who's one of the best players in baseball. He signed through 2017. So he's a free agent eligible in 2019. So after next year, he's eligible for arbitration next year. It's going to be interesting to see what Scott Boras does with this guy. But obviously the Yankees can offer him a lot of money. But the Yankees are doing really well right now. And, you know, the Yankees don't really feel the need to change anything, but obviously it's Bryce Harper. So, yeah, I mean, am I going to pay, 2 years? I mean, right now he's what, 24? He's going to be 26, 26 years old in 2 years. And, actually, probably by that time he'll probably be 27 because he turns 25 in October. Okay, so I don't know. He'll be 26, 27 years old. And if I'm the Yankees, yeah, I'm going to offer this guy like a 7-year deal. Like, I mean, knowing the Yankees, they'll probably give him a 10-year deal, which is stupid. But, you know, I'd probably give him like a 7-year deal. If it were really up to me, I'd like to give him a 5-year deal. You know, I think 32 is a good benchmark in my opinion of like, okay, is his career kind of plummeting or is it not? So that's what I would do with Bryce Harper. But he's coming back to the lineup today. He returns to the lineup. And so, obviously big boost to the Nationals. You know, he just missed the past 3 games with a groin injury. He'll be batting third against the Orioles. Matt Harvey was suspended. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Matt Harvey was suspended for a game. Just for 3 games without pay. The Mets GM, he didn't really say what happened, but the pitcher, he did not show up to the ballpark on Saturday. There was a migraine going on and there was some communication issues with the team. For a New York Mets team that is 14-16 right now, they need all the wins they can get. I think suspending a guy because he had a migraine is not the smartest thing to do when you're not winning the division. I'm kind of shaking my head at that one. That's kind of interesting. Henry Ramirez is making his debut at first base against the Brewers. And then also, there was this article that came out. It was like trades that MLB teams should consider. I'm going to share some of these with you guys and give you my input on whether or not I think they'd be good. One of them has the Kansas City Royals trading away Lorenzo Cain to the Nationals. Adam Eaton, obviously you know, Nationals center fielder is out for the year. He was running the first base, and he tore his ACL. It looked pretty bad. I'm not going to lie. It really did. I know you're like, oh, he's running the first base. How could he tear his ACL? Well, he did. He tore his ACL running to first base. And so Michael Taylor is the new center fielder. And he's never been very good. There's upside, you know, but I mean, he, you know, it's just, if you're a Nationals team that's trying to make it all the way, you need a better center fielder than that. You could move Turner or Harper to center, but, you know, Dusty Baker said no. And so, I mean, to be completely honest, you know, the logic here is that, that since Kane is 31, the Royals are more likely to allocate the resources for fellow free agents Mike Moustakas or Eric Hosmer. They're comparing the value of Kane to a guy like Ben Zobrist. I think this would be a tremendous move for the Nationals. I think Kane would be a very big step up from Michael Taylor. You know, he provides that same speed and better defense and better contact than Michael Taylor would. I think he'd fit in really nicely in Washington. Another one, the White Sox, again, the Nationals, here we go again. The White Sox trading their closer, David Robertson, to the Nationals. That would be another terrific trade for the Nationals. Nationals bullpen last year was good, but obviously Blake Treinen was a disaster to start the year. So Sean Kelly was saving games for a while. Kota Glover wound up in the DL. Kelly's already given up a bunch of homers, and his splits aren't great, you know, righty-lefty. So he should be a setup guy, apparently, and I would agree with that, with this article saying. You know, obviously there's no one out there that's going to solve this problem, well, free agent-wise at least, for the Nationals. So I think that what's going to hold this team back, if I had to say, I mean, I really think it's going to be the closer position. I don't think it's going to be Michael Taylor. You know, I think that Michael Taylor, while I agree that Michael Taylor is a problem, I think the bigger problem for the Nationals is the closing, is the closer position. Because you've seen in the past with all of these teams that win the World Series, they all have great bullpens, and the Nationals do not have a great bullpen. We have a car on the line. Who do we got?
Ryan, if the White Sox make any trades to help any team other than themselves, they will have one very upset Chicago fan.
The White Sox are going nowhere. I'm just saying, I think trading Robertson to the Nationals would be great for the Nationals. And the White Sox, they're on the youth movement. Mancada, they just need to start over, like, and rebuild.
I don't want to hear that nonsense. Nobody wants to hear that nonsense from Chicago. What's wrong with you?
Well, you got to do it. All right, Paul, I got Paul Richardson on. Paul, wow. Okay, so NBA playoffs. We're just gonna switch here while I have you on the line. And it looks like, again, I know we were in the same position last week, but this collision course between the Cavaliers and the Warriors seems to be very real. Neither team has lost a game so far in the playoffs. So my first question for you is there a chance that we could see both of these teams come into the NBA Finals 12-0?
If Washington beats Boston, I think they will get one from Cleveland, at least one.
Okay.
And if Houston comes out, or San Antonio, they'll each get at least one. Houston just shoots so well, so you know they're going to have one of those nights where they hit everything. So I think that's their chance, but I don't see either one of them coming in with more than one or two losses.
Yeah. Okay. I am legitimately, look, at the end of the season, I said, okay, Kevin Durant's coming to Golden State. It's over. It's done. But the way that the Cavaliers are playing and the way that LeBron's playing, I genuinely believe that they have a chance to beat Golden State again. I don't think this is a cakewalk by any means. I mean, LeBron's playing out of his mind.
See, I still go back to next year, and I mean, they got it done, and Golden State, you know, did not. But LeBron agitating Draymond, I just can't get that out of my mind. I really can't, because I think Golden State would have won that series. I really do. So, I'll be interested this year to see what happens. I mean, Cleveland has no rim protection at all. And with Golden State, who thought JaVale McGee could actually play? So I mean, look at it like this. Cleveland came back and they won a series where the last three games, I think Harrison Barnes maybe got 30-some points in three games for the Warriors. Four more points in any of those games, they win. And Kevin Durant is just you can't guard them all. I mean, there's still people on Cleveland that you could play honest. You know what I mean? You could play Tristan Thompson honest. You could say, okay, well, I'm going to make this person beat me. LeBron is going to be LeBron. There's nothing you can do about that, but we can make this person beat us. There's no one in Golden State. I mean, you can't double off anyone except Zsa Zsa Pachulia, and then it'll come with Iguodala. I've never seen a team where you can't double off anyone because the four guys in the starting lineup can all shoot. So it's crazy. No, I don't see them losing to Cleveland, especially not with home court a second year in a row.
Okay. I think it's a fair argument. I'm just saying Cleveland, they're really, really playing well. And when Kyrie does this thing where he just makes everything, it makes it tough. It really does. And Steph, you know, all fairness to Steph, he was dealing with some injury issues last year in the playoffs. I mean, he wasn't himself clearly in the finals, but so hopefully a healthy Steph Curry, and hopefully this team's going to come out and play for Steve Kerr. I mean, that's the other question I have for you. If Steve Kerr can't coach the team, does that affect the Warriors?
Any other team, I would tell you yes. I think where the only spot they might miss him in is if a game is really tight and say it's a game six in the finals, game five in the finals, sometimes he may have that voice, that soothing voice to kind of pull everything together. And he obviously knows the right thing to say. But to be honest with you, man, I'm rolling out four All-Stars and three of the last five MVPs that are all on the same page. And the biggest difference, and this is the thing I want everyone to remember, Cleveland has not been challenged where they have to actually play defense in their first eight games. And we know how suspect their defense is, whereas Golden State is one of the top five defensive teams in the league. So Toronto did not challenge them at all. Kyle Lowry, the first two games, played like Kyle Lowry usually does in the playoffs. And DeRozan had a terrible first game. And then Kyle Lowry was out the third and the fourth game. They have not been – no one has made them work on defense yet. So, to me, I don't want to call it fool's goal because I think that's Houston. But I think that until the defense is actually challenged, and I think that would be Washington, then that would be it. Don't fall in love with Boston. If Boston makes it, don't fall in love with them because they have one offensive guy. That's it.
Well, so, as everyone knows, the assistant coach for the Warriors is Mike Brown, and he did coach LeBron. So maybe it's a
good think about it. He's the only coach in NBA right now that has prevented LeBron from winning a title. So let's see if he can do it again.
Exactly. All right, so I want to talk to you about this one thing. You know, DeMar DeRozan making comments, if we had LeBron, we would have won too. Obviously, that would have happened. If you put LeBron on the Sixers, how far do you think they'd go?
First round of the playoffs?
That's it.
Everyone talks about, you put LeBron on this team automatically goes to the finals. It's not like he came to Cleveland with the bear covered. He came there with Kyrie Irving was there. He orchestrated the trade for Kevin Love. He had a J.R. Smith that wanted to get out of New York and would have done anything to play with someone that's good. So it wasn't like he just came. They picked him up and put him on the Suns or put him on the Sixers or put him on anyone of those other.
When he was on Cleveland, he had Larry Hughes and Ogauskas. Those are his role players.
You're going back 9 years. I'm talking about the NBA today. I can say the same thing. Allen Iverson got a bunch of bumps to the finals. That happens from time to time. But in these last 6 years, let's be fair, I think LeBron is one of the top five players of all time. But let's be honest. You tell me what other outside of LeBron, he's played with two All-Stars in Cleveland and two All-Stars and two Hall of Famers in Miami. He's not playing with bums.
I think they'd make it to the finals on Philly. And I think that the reason is because I use Philly. I don't think Philly is the laughing stock in the NBA anymore. specifically if he was on Philly, you know, next year let's just put him on a team with a healthy Ben Simmons, Dario Saric, a healthy Joel Embiid, Robert Covington. He would have some pieces around there, and he would elevate their games. I think they would make it pretty far. You put him on a team like Sacramento, then I could see your point. I don't think they'd get past the first round.
Tell me what players he's played with in the last 6 years that he had to bring them up that they weren't already talented players. Tell me one player on Philadelphia that's all-star ready, other than Joel Embiid, if he could play more than 20 games. One other player that's all-star ready. From what you've seen in the NBA.
I mean, I think Ben Simmons has all-star.
From what you've seen.
Right from the get-go.
From what you've seen in the NBA.
Saric is really
exactly.
Good. I think he could be an all-star.
He's not a freaking all-star yet. He's got about 2-3 years
left. He's really good.
If you think that he can get those bums past Washington, then I would take that bet all the time. Put him on Brooklyn. What do you think he'd do if he went on Brooklyn's team?
No, well, Brooklyn, he's not going to do anything. I use Philly because I think Philly is one of the underrated teams, and I think that next year Philly could – it's the East. I mean, I think Philly could contend for the eighth spot next year. I mean, you never know. The East is weak, you know. I mean,
The West isn't weak?
The West is a lot stronger than the East is.
Considering that their last team got in had a worse record than the East record. They see the East.
I think Portland would beat Chicago. I think Portland beat them in 5 games if those 2 teams went at it.
We never know. My whole point of this is, though, when everyone says that, remember, the West really only has one true team that's a superior team, 2 other teams that are good teams, and a bunch of middle-of-the-roaders and a bunch of bums. The East, on the other hand, has one really good elite team, two decent teams, and the rest are middle-of-the-roaders or bums. It's the same thing. Same thing. We all knew Cleveland didn't win the one seed only because they didn't want to. And part of that tells me is they wanted to avoid Chicago and Washington as long as they could.
Mm-hmm.
Really firmly believe.
All right.
That.
Okay. I will blow Paul off to all you. Hung up. But looking forward to the playoffs. The Warriors and the Jazz game 4 tonight. Let's see if the Warriors can sweep the series. Let me just mention quickly that last trade that was on that list. Let's getting back to it very briefly. We don't have much time. But it was, here it is. Okay. So we went through the Windsor Kane. We saw the David Robertson. There's one more on here and there's a couple more. But one that you should know, there's Oakland A's trading Yonder Alonso to the Yankees. He's the first baseman. The Yankees first base is not looking good right now. Blue Jays trading Kevin Pillar to the Indians. And then the Minnesota Twins trading Irvin Santana to the Rockies. I don't like the Irvin Santana one. I think that's really stupid. But I do like the Kevin Pillar trade to the Indians. And Yonder Alonso to the Yankees, not horrible. Alonso's not a great player, but he certainly would be an upgrade from what they have now. But the Yankees are playing better than they have in a long, long time, and they're scamming a lot of people because – the pinstripes are back, baby. The pinstripes are back. The Yankees are back. Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, Gary Sanchez is back. Tanaka, you know, I mean, this, you know, obviously Chapman, Dylan Betances. This is a team. They have the bullpen. They have the leadership. They have everything that you could possibly want on a championship team right now. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Yankees can keep this up. Guys, thank you very much for listening once again. Catch me next time this week. UFC meets Fantasy Sports. Tune in to UFC 211 on Saturday. Enjoy, guys. Thanks for listening. Take it easy.